Welcome to Kingdom Faith London podcast. We pray that as you listen to the word of God, you will be built up, encouraged, inspired, that it will speak right into your situation as you listen.
Lord. Okay, let's take a seat. I'm going to ask Jonathan to come in just a moment, but I just wanted to say a couple of things before we start. Just thank you for all of you who prayed for us as a family last weekend. We had a powerful time in Scarborough. I said to Jonathan, I've never heard him preach like he preached up in Scarborough those 2 days. It was just so anointed. It was so powerful what God was doing. And then, of course, you're aware that Jonathan's dad got promoted to glory last Sunday morning, which was a shock. But as I've said to several of you, it was as far as death goes, it's a good death. He loved the Lord. He was 85 years old. He was at home. He didn't suffer a long illness or sickness. And he went to be with the Lord. And I just want to pay tribute to Jonathan's family, to his whole family, because in 28 years of knowing my father-in-law, I never once heard him, not once, ever speak critically, negatively, not once. He always, always just spoke truth. He just spoke the Bible. And on the side of the dresser, as you go into their sort of dining room area, there's always just a pile of tracts. Everywhere he went, he was known as the person who just leaves a tract everywhere. Everywhere. God alone knows how many people are going to be in glory because of his testimony. But there will be many, let me assure you. And I want to pay tribute particularly to his sister as well, Elizabeth. Because even as the ambulance and the paramedics and those guys were there working on his dad, she was giving witness to the ambulance guys. As they were, whether he had a church background or not, I don't know. But what she told us was like, wow. Even in the midst of those circumstances, they were reaching out with the love of Jesus. And this is our hope. This is the hope that we have in Christ. Amen. So I just wanted to personally pay tribute and to thank you all for the flowers and the love and the care that we felt as a family. So let's welcome Jonathan as he comes.
Obviously, it's 7 days since my dad passed away, and you know, it is a shock when whatever stage of life somebody is at, and my dad was 85, and I will miss him because he's one of those people that you knew that you could, have you got my glasses? you've got one of those you've got one of those things where any time that you wanted somebody to pray for you because you're going through a challenging time, I could ring up my dad, and I know one of the things that he did was to pray. And I'm just so grateful for the example that he set for my life and for my sisters. I have three sisters. One lives in Canada, and two live at home. One is Down syndrome. And, you know, when you have somebody with special needs, you have God's heart of love and compassion for a lot of people in society because you worked through some of the issues yourselves as you were growing up. And but no, my dad... he is now very, very happy because he is with his father. And that's one of the things that for a number of months, even a number of years, he was so excited to for that time when he got promoted. And there was an excitement every time he talked about going home. But there was, you know, we talked about this, and, you know, God opened up a door for him. And he was... it was like those doors that open that are automatic. He stepped towards it, the doors opened, and he walked through. And, you know, that's what my dad did. He had an open door. There was an open door for him to go into heaven, and he took that door and he stepped through it. And, you know, God's been speaking to us so much about open doors, or certainly to me, and I think to Helena. And in Scarborough, when we were there last week, God spoke a prophetic word to us about a large open door for Kingdom Faith. That Kingdom Faith London, there is going to be an open door for us to walk into because of the promises that God is wanting to bring, not just to the small group of people here, but into a city that is 8 million people, plus a nation that is 70 million. You know, one of the things that God reminds me, or reminded us of, constantly over these last 7 days, is the call of God upon our lives, your life, my life, and that is to reflect who God is in every situation and circumstance. Also to make sure that we always go through the doors that God has for each and every one of us, that none of us stay on the wrong side of the door when God opens one. If God opens a door, we need to walk through it so that we can fulfill God's plan and God's purpose for our lives. And we shouldn't miss, and God doesn't want us to miss, any one of those opportunities. And even if we do miss it, then God is an amazing God who gives us chance after chance after chance to walk through those right doors. You know, he sometimes blocks off the exits so that we can't escape from his plan and his purpose. You know, God showed me one of those revolving doors. And there was a, what was the film? It was one of the Johnny English's film. I don't know if you see the film where he was going into a hotel lobby. And it was one of those revolving doors. And Johnny English put his bag on one side of the door and he stepped into this revolving door and realized that he couldn't get his luggage because he would just keep going around and around and around. And it was only the security guard outside who saw this. After a little while, I wish I had the clip because it is so funny to see. But you know, I think sometimes God reminds us of little things. And I think for some people, it feels like that we're going round and round. That, you know, we've stepped into something fresh and something new, yet we're still going around and we've not quite stepped into our future, into the plan and actual God's plan and purpose for our lives. And there sometimes can be a little bit of a frustration there because it's like you're seeing the same things again and again and again. And God's sort of saying, yes, just step out. Yeah. And sometimes it can be fear, it can be insecurity, for many different reasons why we don't step out into, in quotes, that lobby, which is quite a spacious place. Certainly in some of the hotels I've been to, when you walk through that, it's like, wow, what a spacious place. And I've been into some nice hotels. And, you know, it is. It's suddenly you go into this amazing lobby and it's just like, wow. And you're looking around at all the amazing things that are around you at that time. And I just really believe that for some of us, you know, and I'm part of the church here too, that God has spoken about a spacious place. God has moved, talked to us about being a revival people, a people who are going to see reformation. Now, revival is for the church, okay? Because you can't revive something that hasn't had life there in the first place. So God brings revival to the church, and then he reforms society. And boy, don't we need to see the society reformed at this time. But you see, it's not going to happen without that revived people. A people who are hungry and thirsty after God and the things that he wants to give to us. So that when we go in this revival fire where we catch the wind, I mean, Naomi and I, and I think a few of us, love sailing. And one of the things my dad did was he built a boat. It was a little mirror dinghy, for those who know what that is, but he built it himself with help from the little boy called Jonathan. And it was a lovely boat, and we went sailing a lot. And sometimes, you know, even in cold winter's days, my dad used to force us to go sailing. We didn't want to go, but my dad said, no, we built it, so we're going to go sailing. So there we are, shivering away. But you know, one of the things that we learn when you sail is that sometimes, you know, your boat can get into a certain position where your sails are flapping. It's called in irons. And what happens is that, you know, you're stuck because your boat hasn't, or your sails haven't caught the wind. And so therefore it's in this neutral position, and it's quite frustrating because you know there's wind around the place, but you're not catching it. You're pointing normally towards that wind in that direction. And then all you have to do is move the tiller, that's the rudder bit, and you begin to catch the wind in the sail, where you can then begin to move again in a direction that actually takes you on the course that you wanted to go on. But you can be in quotes irons for a little while before you catch the wind. And I believe that for all of us, if we're going to see, and the church in this city of ours, if we're going to see what God wants us to see, we're going to have to make sure we catch the wind of what God is doing.
Yes.
And, you know, to catch the wind of what God is doing, it's going to come back into some of the fundamentals of things that we already know. It's giving God our all. We know those things. But sometimes when we say we're giving God our all, we begin to take things back from the things that God is wanting to say. Look, guys, I've given you fullness of life. I want you to live life to the full. I don't want you to live a half-hearted life, but I want to give you a passion. I want to give you a longing for Him, but also for the people around us. We're catching the wind of what God is wanting to say to His church in this nation. It's exciting. And it's the most freeing thing to be in the purpose, will and purpose of God. It's a frustration when we're outside of God's purpose. And if any of you are frustrated today, I really believe God's saying, okay, just move the tiller a little bit. And that wind will start to catch the sail, and then you begin to pull that sail in to catch the wind in a greater way so you can go even faster. But you begin to catch that wind. And sometimes you have to move the rudder a little bit because you see sometimes the sails start to flap a little bit. And when the sails start to flap a little bit, it's just like you've gone off direction slightly. Yeah. It's not a lot. You still got wind in your sail, but your sail is flapping. And so therefore you just have to move that tiller slightly. And sometimes it is only a millimeter or two, and you catch that wind again, and suddenly you're going off, and there, you know, you're leaning out because your boat's going in a great direction and a great speed, and it's exciting. But you know, God's got a great excitement for each one of us. He has. You know, it was a great privilege for Emmett and Alan and myself to go to Church Without Walls yesterday and to feed some of the homeless. You know, we have a great message. We have a great message. I think sometimes we forget the message that we have, that Jesus Christ is very much alive and He can bring change into every situation and circumstance. Now, God will never force Himself on anybody, but there is a choice that God wants to, in a sense, give people who are in our environment. But we need to be able to talk about Jesus wherever we go. And you know, the excitement and the hunger that God wants to give us about who Jesus is, so that we can actually be awakened ourselves. There's a scripture in Revelation chapter 3. I'm not going to tell you when Jesus Christ is coming back again. Nobody knows, actually. So anybody who tells you it was the 23rd of September last year or this year, they were wrong, because I'm still very much here. But in Revelation chapter 3, it says this. I'll start from verse 1 and I'll go through to the end of verse 3. It says, "To the angel of the church in Sardis write, these are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up. Strengthen what remains and is about to die. For I have found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Hold it fast and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you." There's just a couple of words there. One is wake up. I do believe that, and I know I'm not talking to you guys here. I know that all of you are awake. And spiritually hungry, spiritually thirsty, that you're passionate about God and all the things that he's wanting to do. So I know I'm caught talking to the converted here. But if there's a chance where, you know, God's sort of saying, actually, I need to wake up a little bit spiritually. You know, I'm not as hungry for God's word, or I'm not as hungry to pray as I used to be. Then, okay, I've got to hear that. So, you know, yeah, I need to wake up a little bit. And sometimes, you know, if you know that you have been closer to God in the past than you are today, then I really believe God's sort of saying, wake up to that reality. That you know that in your journey with God, there has been a time where you've been walking closer to him than you are today. I believe God's saying, wake up, just wake up, because you've been asleep a little bit. And it may be that you haven't gone and done major things wrong. It's just, you know, sometimes tiredness or weariness can come in and we just get sleepy and a little bit tired and weary. And, you know, next to no time you've realized, wow, I don't feel God as close as I did in that season of my life. And I know we're all in seasons, in different seasons, but one of the things that God will never do, he will never leave us. Now, we can go on a way that takes us away from his plan and purpose for our lives, but he won't leave us. And he's waiting for us to wake up and the reality of, actually, I've drifted away. I need to come back into that relationship with God that I used to have. And so if that's for you, just listen to the word. But then it says this, "Strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God." And I just believe that God put a challenge before me, and now I'm going to put a challenge before you. Is there any time that you have said something, yes, to the Lord, I'm going to do that. I'm going to spend more time with the reading God's word. I'm going to spend more time in prayer. I'm going to spend more time talking to people or communicating. I'm going to spend more time in talking about Jesus to my friends and my colleagues. But over a period of time, you've not done what you have said you were going to do. You know, there's times where we will come to a meeting like this, or you go to a big conference, and in that conference you can get very emotional sometimes, but you've promised God, and it came from the right heart, that, Lord, I want to give you everything. I want to give you my heart, my life. I want to give you my all. And you genuinely meant what you said, but over a period of time, that word, that promise to God, has become a little bit iffy. And I just really believe God's saying, has there or is there anything in our lives that is unfinished, an unfinished work? Is there something in you or in me that remains unfinished because we've stopped or we've not done what we have promised? It's an unfinished work. I don't want God to leave anything in your life or my life unfinished. I want him to complete in your life and my life everything that he has promised us. Because there's things and there's people here who have had promises from God and you held on to that promise. It may be for some people who are unsaved in your family. It may be for something to do with your healing or a health issue. But for some reason, you prayed for a bit, for a season of time, but now you've started to a little bit when you remember rather than something that you consistently do. But you heard something God said. God's promised you something, but it's unfinished. It's unfinished. And God, I believe, is challenging us all to not leave anything unfinished in our lives. I believe that this church, and you hear me, I said this before, I believe this group of people, and there was 120 in the upper room in Acts. Jesus had 12 disciples, and that 11 of them became apostles, and then they brought another person into the apostolic, Matthias, in Acts chapter 2. And 12 apostles brought major change in the situations and circumstances in the whole of our world as we know it today. From that city of Jerusalem, we know that God took the message of the gospel worldwide from 12 people. Obviously, 12 people became 120 in the upper room, and all 120 were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit at that time. And, you know, we understand that it is going to be through the power of the Holy Spirit that is going to enable us to do these things. But one of the things we need to make sure is in our own lives, is there any area unfinished? Is there any way that we have got into a revolving door that we've, for whatever reason, just remained in that place and we've stopped praying for something that's unfinished? You know, we need to, in part, there's always going to be that unfinished work because I'm a revivalist at heart, okay? I'm longing for the move of God. And there was something that happened even yesterday. I was watching something online on YouTube. And I had the privilege of going across to America quite a number of years ago now and being part of a move of God, a move of the Spirit of God in what they called Pensacola. It was a revival that was taking place for 5 years. There was meetings virtually every night from Tuesday through to Sunday. And many, many thousands upon thousands of people became Christians because of that message. And people gave their lives back to the Lord because there was things that were unfinished in their lives. And I had the privilege of going there. But last night I saw something on YouTube and there was about 5 men on the stage. And 3/4 of them were on that stage as a result of being fired up by that Pensacola revival. And they spoke about having a time with God at that particular church in Florida, in Pensacola. And that changed them for the rest of their lives. And they were there ministering before God and a love and a passion for Jesus because of what God did with that mark of God in their lives in that meeting in Pensacola. Now, it's taken 15, 20 years for them men to now become the men of God that have household names in many places around the world, all because God marked them in a meeting. Now, does it have to be in a meeting? No. It doesn't have to be. But I believe God is going to have an amazing encounters in our city, where people are going to come into an environment with God, where people will step into an environment where God's present. And where God's present, and Mikey said it some this morning, one word from God changes everything. One act of God changes everything. And I believe that we as the people, and one of the things that I believe that is unfinished is that as a church, we need to be praying constantly, individually, but also corporately, for this divine encounter with God, so that we believe that God's going to move in to this room. Now, that can be here, it can be any room that God gives us in the future. But I want to see, I want to be in an environment where God's present. Moses understood that. Moses understood completely that he could not do anything without the power of God being around. And Moses up the mountain where he had an encounter, amazing encounter with God, what did he say? Don't let me go alone. Do not move me from this place. And Moses said, I'm not going to go anywhere without you being around. And for me, I want to get again a place of passion where God, I can't do this without you. I can't lead this church. I can't be the person you want me to be without you going with me. I need you to go with me. I need you to be present in this church. Because if you're not here, then the life that you bring, that brings change, healing, deliverance, people set free, people becoming Christians because of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The reality of Jesus, not just words, but the reality of God impacting your life and my life, so that we become the light that God wants us to be. But it's not just words, that we see God amongst us. And because we're seeing God amongst us, our lives are impacted. Our lives are changed. Our lives are in a place of such freedom because of what God wants to do in our city. But he revives us. He revives us so that we can then reform and see God reform and bring reformation into our city. This city needs a church, and we're part of that church. I believe that. I believe that's why me and Helena and you guys are part of this church, because we have a heart. We know that God is a great God, a loving God, and because of his love, he does not want to see anybody miss out on his best purposes, his plan, his purpose for their life. But he knows also that people have choices. And, you know, a cry of my own heart is, God, help me to make the right choices. Every day of my life, I want to make the right choices. Lord, I want to continue to be hungry. And I think that's why communion is such an important part of our church here. And that's why we take it on most Sundays. And please, I want to encourage you, if you're at home, take it home as well with two or three people. Why? Because it's so, so important to understand the power of the blood and the bread of Jesus Christ. It also helps us to understand how the bread of life is so important to us. So, so important. Because if you don't receive the bread of life, which is of the word of God, then we begin to get hungry and starving. And spiritually speaking, you know, we need to be people who are hungry after the things of God, passionate to see him move again like he did in the Acts of the Apostles. You know, we need to see, and it is a need. We need to see God move again like he did in the Acts of the Apostles. And he uses us, he uses you and me to display his glory. It's amazing. God so loved you that he has placed you in a church like this, which can hear a message like this. Why? Because he has a great purpose for your life. Yes. You know, are you going back to India next week? Sorry? Okay, so are you here next Sunday?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll pray for you next Sunday. But again, for me, you know, I want us to send our brother back to India. And I just want all of us to be praying this week, because I think God wants to give us scriptures, some words for our brother. So please come ready to give what God gives to you, so that he's going back. Maybe even write it out so that you don't forget it. And obviously you can say it next week, but I don't want us to, we want to send you with our blessing back to India. And we know that God has promised you things concerning family. And I believe that miracle working God is going to do something amazing in your life and situation. I believe it. But you see, this is one of the things, is that we got to get to back to a point of understanding how great our God is. How amazing he is. We sometimes, I think, because of life, we bring God into a thinking, our own thinking, which is so much smaller than who he is. He's an amazing God. And he wants to do amazing things in your life and my life. Can you just please stand? If you know that you have promised God things in the past, Lord, you can have this. You have my finance. You have my life. You have my body. You have whatever you have, you have it. But then over periods of time, you've taken it back. Just be very quick. God, I don't want to do that. Lord, I don't want any work unfinished in my life. You need to use your own words. But Lord, I just ask you for myself, Lord, that there is nothing unfinished. Lord, the promises that you have spoken over my own life and this church. Father, Lord, forgive me for the times where maybe I've not prayed through until. And there was that word at camp, wasn't there, regarding, for those who were at Faith Camp, one of the guest speakers spoke about prayer. And he used that word, until. And I believe that if you've got journals, if you've got notebooks, you need to write in your notebook, pray until. And until needs to be in bold. Because I think and I believe that for many of us here, there are things that God, we began to pray for. But that until what we see happening became weaker and weaker. Linking that to that scripture in Revelation, that there is things that are yet unfinished. I believe that God is wanting and stirring us, that we begin to pray again until we see what God has promised. Husbands saved, people set free, the church being truly the church again in this city, reflecting Jesus in every single way, in holiness, in righteousness, in truth. Father, you call us to be faithful and true to all of your promises. Lord, I just ask you that we will remain faithful until, and pray until we begin to see, oh Lord, all the things that you have promised in our own lives individually and also corporately. Lord, I just pray for courage and boldness to be who we are called to be. That we will not shrink back. We will not hold back from any promise that you have given. But we will hold on until we begin to see lives impacted, revival taking place in the church. And that begins to be an awakening in our city, a reformation taking place. Father, we need you like never before. And Lord, I just ask you, just like Moses on that mountainside, saying, please, please, please do not send us away without you going with us. We cannot go anywhere without you. Lord, I ask you that those open doors, that we will be bold to step through them. And Father, we know with a boldness we can say, God, do not send us through that without your presence with us. Oh God, we don't want to be in any revolving doors, going around and around in circles. Father, we just want to step out into all the great things that you have planned and purposed for us. Oh Lord, do not send us from this place without your presence. Father, I ask you for your mercy, for your grace, that even though we don't deserve anything, Lord, you are so gracious and you give to us. And so, Father, I ask you, Holy Spirit, that you will come and remind us of anything that is unfinished, but we're...
We pray that the word today has really encouraged you, built you up, inspired you, spoken right into your situation. If you've got questions to anything that you've heard, or you'd like someone to talk to or to pray with you, then do contact us on our website, www.kingdomfaithlondon.com.